Greetings and welcome to the very first episode of the Kazumatsuri.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. Just because this is the first episode, I'm going to start off with some formal introductions so everybody's on the same page of who we are and what we're doing here. So first off, I'd like to introduce Kazumatsuri.org, our website. So Kazumatsuri.org is a community for Ki fans. Ki is a visual novel developer in Japan. If you haven't heard of what visual novels are, they're basically video games with a heavy focus on story and reading through text. It's pretty much entirely reading through text, actually. It's like a book with pictures and sound. Amazing sound, I might add. But basically, yeah, so Ki makes visual novels which are often adapted into anime series, which are quite famous in the West, actually. You may have heard of some of them being Clannad, Angel Beats, Cannon Air, and maybe some lesser-known ones like Rewrite, Little Busters, Planetarian, and so on and so forth. And so basically, our website is a community for all those fans of Ki to join together and discuss the series together. And it's a pretty great community, I think many of our members will agree. So what's happening now is basically Ki has partnered up with Aniplex and PA Works, the same collaboration that was used to produce the Angel Beats anime when that originally aired. And they're making an all-new series titled Charlotte, with Jun Maeda as the head writer. He is probably Ki's most famous writer and most renowned, so it should be clear that this is a pretty big deal. And so what we do at Kazumatsuri.org with various Ki series is one of our main attractions is the book clubs. And what we do with that is we usually read through a visual novel together and discuss each route part by part, and then we come together on a podcast and talk about the series for an hour or two. They're quite lengthy, but the amount of depth we get into our analysis is crazy. So this time, basically, what we're going to do is something a little bit different. With the new Charlotte anime series coming out, we're going to spend our time dissecting each episode on the forum. You can join in right now. We'll have a topic up for every episode as it airs, and you can participate in the discussion there. But then after that, we're going to come together for a small group of the community that I've handpicked myself, and we'll come together on a podcast, and that's what we're doing right now. So we come together and discuss the episode we just watched and give our speculation, our impressions and stuff, and analysis. And so we're going to release a podcast for every single episode of the series. So since we don't want to overwhelm either our staff or our viewers with all this content each week, we've decided to shrink it down a bit. And so these episodes are going to be a lot shorter, ranging from 20 to 30 minutes for each episode. And the information's going to be a lot more compressed, but I think you'll really appreciate what's going to come out of it. So today we're starting with episode 1, I Think About Others. All right, let's start off with some cast introductions. So I myself am a Spidey. Let's see, I live in Australia. My favorite Ki work is Little Busters, and my favorite Ki character is Mio Nishizono. Probably. Still deciding that. The boys are kind of cool too. And let's introduce Pepe.
Hey everybody, I'm Pepe. I'm originally from the Philippines, but I'm currently residing in Japan. My favorite Ki work is, well, I'm undecided right now, either on air or Rewrite. And my favorite Ki character is Hinata from Angel Beats. He's the man. He's my idol.
All right, and I'm Biscuito. I'm your moderator here on Kazumatsuri.org. I live in Florida in the US of A. My favorite Ki work, despite what people may think, is Little Busters. And my favorite character is Masami Iwasawa from Angel Beats.
Cool, cool. We were meant to have either Linkthinks or Bowie on, as they're also part of the regular cast, but they couldn't make this episode, so you'll probably see them in future episodes. Anyway, let's begin with our 30-second recap. Biz, take it away.
This week on Persona 5, our protagonist, Yu, says some philosophical shit in the middle of an intersection which makes us question his intelligence. A comet feels bad for him and gives him superpowers. Our hero takes to using his powers for the greater good, like looking at girls' naughty bits and cheating on tests. Because life is hard, Yu isn't allowed to get away with his heroic actions of pretending to be smart and getting the girl, getting caught in the act by Professor Xavier's A-Team, Cypher, and Quicksilver. Some more forceful foreshadowing takes place. Desu and our hero and his lolly are promptly relocated to Hoshino Umi Academy for further surveillance.
Bravo. Bravo, Biz. Excellent summary.
That sounds just like what I watched, yeah.
So, let's just go over what we thought about the episode so far. So, like, Pepe, what's your initial impression?
All right, so I thought it was really great. Like, most people agree with this, that I think the pacing was really good. It was it was fast enough to introduce all the characters, but still enough to kind of get our minds ready for what will happen with the foreshadowing. And at the same time, it was really, really funny.
I'm a bit mixed on the pacing, personally, because, like, I feel like the first half of the episode was really fast, and the second half just stopped. It just went to a dramatic stop. What do you think about that, Biz?
I can't really... Because of the actual, like, length of the series, I'm not really sure exactly how good the pacing is. But it felt fine so far. I'm kind of the same. Like, it felt like go, 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 and then kind of slowed down, teetered off at the end. But overall, I would say it was, you know, a really fun episode, and it kind of just really laid the groundwork for what's to come. And
I think it's a great prologue, probably one of the best, like, of any key anime.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it accomplished one thing that it needed to accomplish, and that's that I want more.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I think most people would watch an anime for, like, 3 episodes, but I think Charlotte is able to accomplish what other series does in 3 episodes in just 1 episode.
I don't know. I still think we don't know what Charlotte really has to offer yet. Like, I think the next episode is really going to set the pace for the rest of the series. But they've done a really good job at establishing our main character, Yu, and...
Yeah, definitely.
And it was funny. It was very funny.
Very funny, yeah.
What do you think about the comedy, Biz?
Like I said, I mean, it was... The comedy is a really good aspect here, like with most keywords, like the first, you know, part of the series is kind of comical because it's making the viewer feel kind of comfortable so they can kind of twist things up on you later. Mm-hmm. So it made me feel good. I like the cast for the most part and everything, so.
Yeah.
I personally usually don't like anime comedy, usually, but I love this one. I love what they did in the first episode.
It was very over the top. Kind of just kind of hits you in the face.
A little crazy. Literally crazy
hits
slapstick.
You in the face.
Oh, yeah. I loved seeing you get beat up. That was fantastic.
You could complain about the pacing of that scene and how it was kind of dropping information on you, but as far as I'm concerned, that whole scene was just so that you could get his ass whooped, and I think that makes me very content.
He deserved it. Yeah.
I think another criticism people have this episode is that it kind of drops the exposition, a bit heavily. Just kind of a bit of unnatural conversations.
Yeah. I think Cannon was the first to post that on the forum, and I agree with him. Especially when he's talking with Ayumi about the situation with his family. Like, why do you need to tell that to your own sister? She already knows that, unless your sister...
Hey, remember how our parents divorced and I hate them and we have a dead brother, maybe?
I wouldn't even consider that, like, a pacing issue. That just seems like they could have handled that exact same kind of information in a little better way.
Yeah. I actually remember the first time we watched Charlotte, I was on a call with the Kaza people, and someone was suggesting how funny would it be if they never bring up that whole brother thing for the rest of the time. Because the way that they introduced it, the way that Ayumi introduced it, kind of seemed like a minor thing. So it wasn't very good. But the way they introduced it at the end of the episode, I think, was a lot better, because it actually gives us this feel that something's about to happen.
Yeah. It was one of those things where people were talking about it, and the first time I watched the episode, I didn't even pick up on that at all. I was just like, wait, what? Like, it just kind of glides over. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Ayumi isn't very good at introducing.
Moving on, I'd just like to start with our analysis of the prologue scene. It's a very interesting way to open the series, because, like, immediately after we get straight into, like, the silly comedy. But that first scene kind of stands on its own as a bit out there. Like, we have Otosaki, you're talking about, like, I think, therefore I am, like, referencing Descart, and, then how apparently he thinks of others and that allows him to become other people. A lot of people on the forum are speculating that this might be how his powers develop. Like,
I viewed it as, like, the title of the episode. Like, I felt like that's kind of what they were going with there.
Yeah. We definitely get a view into how Yu thinks. We get to see into his mind, which I think is very important, because... his whole view of the world is, I think, will be a part of the series later on.
It's almost like they were trying to draw a baseline to make you think of you as kind of a heavier thinker than what they show you for the majority of the episode.
Yes, definitely.
This always happens with other keyworks. Well, most other keyworks.
Like Tomoya.
Like Yukito. Tomoya,
and Kotaro.
Yeah, you're right.
Sasuga Maeda. Well, not... Anyways.
But,
so we can all... already see how it's, like, a classic keyword.
Yeah, the way he, like, he talks about how he's always, like, trying to, like... Everything he does is to meet the expectations of other people. Like, he manipulates people, sure, but he's very much a what do you call that? A sociopath.
Sociopath.
He's very much
like
aware.
He doesn't really care about what anyone else is going through. He just kind of does things according to himself.
Yep. Like,
actually going in the exact opposite direction, where I kind of got the impression that he does everything for other people. Like, he's like always wearing masks. He's always wearing masks. Like, he never shows his true self to other people. It's always something put on. And
not even to his own sister.
Yeah, and that can either be like a way to manipulate people to his own ends, or it can be a way to fit into society. Like, it goes both ways. But it's always that mask thing. Like, he's always doing that edgy, like, Otto, when he's got his hand on his face. It's like, oh, I can't show myself being, like, evil.
Oh, I shouldn't be doing evil laughs.
Yeah.
What I mean by, like, him being a sociopath is, like, he doesn't really care much for the well-being of others and more to himself. For example, the truck driver who he kind of almost kills, and the girl that he wants that he also kind of almost killed, but he was just kind of lucky. Because I was thinking about the show, I was like, man, you wonder how things would have gone if he failed. That has been a bit shocking.
Like, I think a lot of people would have reacted differently if that bus driver actually died. You'd see blood all over the truck.
No, you got swirly eyes. He's good.
Actually, what did you guys think about you? I mean, that's a very controversial thing to do.
A lot of the people on the forum has been arguing about this. I just see the internet at large has been arguing over, do we like this guy or do we hate him?
I hate his guts. I think he is an asshole who deserves to have his butt kicked, but...
Oh, absolutely.
He is a very good character.
Yeah.
For the story, he is an amazing character. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way.
He is very fun. I'll give him that. Like, everyone loves the assholes in key anime, and this guy kind of takes it to the next level.
He takes the cake.
Easily.
I had to revive the biggest key douchebag topic on the forum for you.
But a lot of people
thing that's interesting about you is I'm trying to find out where's like the good and the cool in him. You're like, where's it gonna come out, if anywhere? Because like Yukito and like Yuichi are both kind of dicks, right?
Yeah.
But and they're like funny, but they eventually have like this, you realize, oh, you know, they're not so bad.
They're,
but it's just
snarky.
Like, where is that in you?
They're snarky, but they have good intentions, whereas you doesn't have. I don't know.
Yu has a Yumi, which I'm sure we'll get into a Yumi later, but I would say that's probably the only spot where he kind of shows that he has a good side.
Yeah, that's kind of like the only part where he shows, like what we see is like a genuine smile.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't fuck around for Yumi. He's like, maybe he might get annoyed at her sometimes, like any sibling would, but he seems to genuinely care for her well-being, which is more than we can say for anybody else we've seen him interact with.
He makes me wonder if, smiles.
Speaking of society, makes me wonder if like he doesn't really trust anyone else other than like his own sister and stuff.
That's very angsty. Yeah, it's very like, teenager.
But I feel like that's going to be a big theme of this series. It's like teenage, like puberty, basically adolescence. That whole like rebelling against society and trying to find your own identity. I think those are going to be very poignant themes in this series. I can already feel that.
Specifically because people develop their powers in adolescence.
One of our forum members, RPG Caster, was like, is this like an analogy for Chunibyo?
Might be.
Makes you think. Superpowers at adolescence, getting all edgy and shit. Yeah.
But like, About the superpowers, though. I mean, like, because Biz said in his review that, oh, the comet feels bad for him and gives him superpowers, but we don't know quite yet. That's how he gets superpowers.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing. How do these people get superpowers? Like, we don't really know yet. But is it, like, because of their mental state? Is that, like, that might that have something to do with why they get the power they get?
Like, I honestly think, like, the powers that they get are kind of related to the way they think. Like, we see Yu is very egotistical. He rarely, if ever, thinks of other people. And we know that his power works when he thinks of other people. So, it's like, if he was the kind of person who thought of other people, then that power wouldn't be suited for him, right? Because he'd just be hopping from one body to the next out of his own control, so...
Isn't it interesting that this egotistical motherfucker happens to be thinking of other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the big paradox here?
That is the paradox. He suddenly started thinking of other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like this series is going to get very psychological. I can feel it.
again, is it him thinking of other people, or is it him thinking of himself as another person?
Yeah, there's a difference there.
That's also very egotistical. If you think of yourself as
another person. Yeah, I feel like that's a little bit more of an accurate depiction there.
There's also
why am I myself and not someone else?
Yeah, but
it's a very deep. Like, I think there's something definitely more deep with these powers instead of just getting them randomly. That's at least my
it's a disease!
Kinda. Yeah, it's a disease, but I think the powers have something to do with the way their personality is built up. Like
one of you guys, I think it was Beers, was already speculating that maybe there's different reasons that Jojiro and now have their powers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know anything about their characters yet, but who knows? Like, maybe there's some reason, something that happened in their past or in their life that caused them to develop the powers they have.
Yep. Like, if they had a different personality, they'd get different powers, yeah.
So that's what we're thinking at the moment, but I guess time will tell if our speculation there is correct or not. So I'd just like to move on to a different character now. Let's talk about Ayumi, our little Emoto. Pepe, I know you really like Ayumi, so why don't you start us off?
I'll admit, she's cute. And it's not cute as in, oh, she's a pretty girl. As they said on the official website, she is like a small animal, like a little puppy. I know many people would disagree with me, but some people definitely find her annoying, but like I can accept that kind of annoyingness. I might be a bit biased because they made her the Stargazer girl and I like stars, so that kind of touched me, maybe.
She's better than most key lollies, I think.
Well, fair. Oops.
Bold statement by Aspie. But yes, there has been a lot of ill will towards this character so far.
They have described her as insufferable.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the same thing with how Yu is kind of detestable. Ayumi is obviously, for me personally, she's kind of annoying. But, you know who else was really annoying? Michiru and Air, okay?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I feel like while she's so annoying to me at first, I feel like this is an excellent challenge to make me care in the future. So I actually kind of like that. I like when my first impressions like get slapped in the face later on and I learn from my mistakes. But I mean, yeah, she's cute and stuff like that, but it's just kind of, I feel like it's very obvious that this is someone that you cares for deeply and we're supposed to care to kind of like be empathetic or something. And I feel like she will be a very central point through the series. So
definitely
it'll be important to watch.
Yeah. Something bad is going to happen to her.
Many people are suggesting that.
She is not safe. She is not safe at all.
Might have said going in that He was so excited for people to meet Ayumi because Naga is so great with those Loli characters and making people interested, and I'm just like, you sick bastard.
So that's what you were thinking when you said that.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Alright, so now we're going to move on to a little block we're calling Interesting Observations. So we're going to point at little things we noticed in this episode. And one thing I wanted to bring attention to is the number of astronomy references in this episode is crazy. Like, yes. I don't know what it means yet. I have absolutely no idea. But we have the comet at the start, the poorly animated comet backdrop that Yui's staring at. We have Scorpio Cafe is where he meets... refresh me, what's the girl's name again?
Yumi.
Yep. And we have another, was the Sagittarius Cafe.
Yep.
I know that was sort. That was seen like when he was running away from Jojiro. Yep. And there was also...
Don't forget the school. More.
Oh yeah, Hoshinoumi.
Sea of Stars.
Yeah.
And how the name of his original school is Kinomori, which is like Forest of Trees or something. It's very contrasting.
Like
the two schools have something to do with each other.
Maybe.
I still can't decide personally whether or not this is like is this Midas like old school M. Night Shyamalan, where he's like trying to have these themes throughout the story that you start to kind of like connect the dots to interesting things? Or was he just trying to think of interesting names for stuff, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and name stuff after stars and things like that, because that's the theme of it, just for fun.
Well,
As a naming tool.
I think it's definitely something deeper than that, because ever since Charlotte was announced way back when, there have been references to stars.
I would agree. I think there's probably going to be something. I just have zero connection as to what it could be.
Yeah, we've known about the stars longer than we've known about the powers, so...
Yeah.
It's definitely shown its face enough for it to be a point of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wild speculation is that their missing brother is on a comet in space.
That is so out of this world, literally.
It makes me want to like look into astrology and kind of like look at all of the different signs and try to see if there's like connections of what the episode's themes are to what is shown in the... I don't know.
Maybe
each episode is a sign of the zodiac.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe you is the Scorpio and I don't know. I don't know enough about astrology to say who's who.
Yeah, I'm not really an astrology person, but it's... I might have to be.
That would be an interesting thing if someone links that up. Like they get 12 characters and they all link them up to a certain sign.
Yeah. So, guys, what are some of your predictions or hopes for the series based on what we know so far? Pepe, give us one.
My prediction, this will be a short prediction since we'll know about it next episode, but my prediction is even though they're going into a school that's filled with powers, I think not everybody in the school knows about the powers.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily going to be like X-Men where everyone knows everyone has powers, yeah.
So you reckon it's going to be more of a like a concealed sort of secret thing
that only a few people know about? That's my prediction, and I'll find out probably in episode 2.
Okay. Beast, do you have anything?
My prediction is along the lines of the idea of a panopticon prison. I like to think that Ayumi and Yuu Otosaka basically just got incarcerated. as you've noticed, they basically get slapped in the face with cameras right as they show up, and there's just going to be more and more of it. That's my prediction. I think this place is a bit more dangerous or worried. It's more containment focused and a little bit less promotion and trying to help them develop and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have two little predictions I'd like to make. First is that I reckon Ayumi is going to develop some important power, but she's maybe too young to do so yet. Whether the series like has enough time for her to like grow old enough to get a power, I don't know. But I just thought that maybe she just has a latent power and that might fit into why she's in the academy and why she seems so important.
She's about that age, I think. Adolescence, yeah?
Yeah.
Middle school, around 12 or 13 years old, maybe.
I guess we'll find out. And my other prediction is that based on little hints and stuff we've had here and there, I think the series is going to be very psychological. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to focus on the minds of these characters as, like, we've seen so much of, like, you, like, thinking of, like, this whole I think, therefore I am, and this whole idea of the person's mind state. Well, this is more our speculation, but the person's mind state influencing what personality they get. And I just think, yeah, we're going to get, like, a very, like, very internalized, very psychological sort of ideas coming up in this series. I don't know. That's just my random speculation.
That's what I'm hoping for. It's not what I'm speculating, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Maybe this is more of a hope than a speculation.
It's an interesting idea because, I mean, there's a lot of times, like, very often you kind of get these pairings of supernatural stuff paired with psychological things.
Yeah,
that's key. That really is key.
So I think it's a pretty good assumption.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I guess we're gonna wrap that up here. You may have noticed we kind of avoided talking about Nao and Jojiro, but that's kind of because we don't really know a lot about them, so I think we're gonna save our impressions for those characters for next episode, so you can definitely look forward to that going forward. Any final comments before we sign off, guys?
The opening is awesome!
Spoilers!
The ED is gonna be better!
Bam!
Because you reckon that bit at the end of the episode is a snippet of the ED, do you?
Yeah.
If it is, then it might actually be better, yeah. I can't argue with you.
Guys, I know you're hyped for your OP and ED, but don't forget about Zeendol.
That's a cheap shot.
We're going to be seeing a lot of that, I reckon. It's Nao's favorite band.
Yep.
I want to see how that plays
into it. That's my other prediction, is that all good characters like Zian.
So you're saying that Ayumi hates Zian, and she's a big Halo Hello fan, yeah?
Yeah. And Nao likes Zian, and Nao is great.
I also can't wait to see if Zienda is, like, relevant to the plot at all, or it's literally just they threw it in because they want to sell music.
We know nothing about Zien from episode one, so I don't... Well, I'm going to buy all the music because I want to go to that concert. Please buy the music from me so I can have more entries to go to the concert.
Buy the music from Pepe.
I'm buying the music from Pepe.
Oh, all right, guys. So I guess we'll sign off now. This has been Aspardi, Biscotto, and Pepe bringing you the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast, episode 1. Tune in for episode 2 of Charlotte airing tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys. And see you next week for the next podcast.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Zeendol.